This meeting of the 2017 Pre-Convention Board meeting is called to order. Mr. Secretary, may we have roll?
Yes, until I find my earphone.
Steve Fixstone.
Here.
Mika White.
Here.
Sue Amater.
Here.
Frank Cuda, here. Deb Lewis.
Here.
Cindy Van Winkle.
Here.
Lori Allison.
Here.
Andy Arvison.
Here.
Carol Brain.
Here.
Janet Dixon.
Here.
Holly Kazmarski.
Here.
Jim Turry. All presented and accounted for.
Yay. All right, maybe we have chapter representatives.
Beatball Clubs of Washington.
Andy Bacon.
Gapel City Council.
Gloria Walling.
Everett.
She's already on the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a no written side.
Sorry.
King County. Peninsula. No, that's no again. Sorry.
Okay.
My no's aren't reading properly here. United Blind of Seattle. United Blind of Spokane. United Blind of Walla Walla. Who's that?
Jolene.
Yeah, okay, sorry. That's Jolene's voice, all right. Wenatchee Valley.
Nobody.
Did I get a yes there?
No.
Okay. Nope, nobody here.
Yakima Valley. I think that's it.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, we are going to need a mic runner. If we could have the audience introduce themselves real quickly. Let's move through this as fast as we can. It might already be on. It is.
All right, J.R. Kennison, Peninsula Council of Blind.
Tim McCorkle, United Blind of Seattle.
Rebecca Bell, United Blind of Seattle in Seattle, King County.
Rex Ransom from the highest hill in El Segundo, California.
Yay. Kim Thiel, bookkeeper.
Lisa George, Yakima.
Esmeralda, King County chapter.
Diane Allen, United Blind of the Tri-Cities, and I'm privileged to be a first-timer with this year.
Beach University, Spokane.
Glenn McCauley, United Blind of Seattle.
Ursula McCauley, United Blind of Seattle.
Maria McKelly, United Blind of Seattle.
And another McKelly, Craig, United Blind of Seattle.
Kevin Daniels, South King Council of the Blind.
Byron Kazmarski of
United Blind of the Tri-Cities, and Guide Dog Newsers.
Greg Jack.
Marlena Lieberg from, Marlena Lieberg, guide dog users of Washington State and South King Council of the Blind.
Sherry Richardson, Guide Dog Users of Washington State and United Blind of Seattle.
Cheryl Stone, sorry about that, from the Tri-City chapter.
Carmen Walker, Portland, Oregon.
And Tri-City member.
Diana Turley from United Blind of the Tri-Cities.
Andy Bacon, Pierce County Association of the Blind, and Washington Beat Baseball Clubs of Washington State. Sorry.
Doreen Cornwell, United Blind of Seattle.
Sarah Edick, Pierce County Association of the Blind. I'm here thanks to the help of my family.
Carl Jarvis, Jefferson County Council of the Blind.
Kathy Jarvis, Jefferson County Council.
Haley Eggers, I'm here with my guide dog Farley, and I brought my son Brayden this year, and it's his first convention.
Hi, I'm Brayden.
Holly Turry, President, United Blind of Whatcom County.
Colette Arvidson, Skagit and Island County Council of the Blind and Guide Dog Users of Washington State.
Amelia Hernandez, the mother of Esmeralda Hernandez, and I'm here to help anybody that needs some help.
Bruce Radke, United Blind of Whatcom County. Did we get Rick? Rick, yeah. He's coming.
I'm Rick Lewis from Seattle.
All right. Thank you very much. And a further record, I want to note that Linda Wickersham from United Blind or from King County Council is present. You were out of the room when we called roll, Linda. So I want to make sure you're recognized. All right. Thank you very much. And I'll try to stand back a little bit from the microphone. All right. May we have approval of the minutes as distributed from the August 19th meeting?
Second.
Okay. Are there any corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Minutes are approved.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Frank.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment for the record that I put in the minutes that Cindy was absent, but that she was absent excused.
That's correct, yes. Okay, thank you very much. All right, Treasurer's Report. Debbie.
Okay, let's see if I can, whoa, sorry about that. This is really loud. Okay, I'll try really hard to, they're pretty hot. Okay, thanks Steve very much, and good evening everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to summarize the work of the Treasury this year and the financial statements as of third quarter, plus a note of some items that have already happened or will be happening soon in fourth quarter of 2017. It's probably our most active quarter for sure. This is my second year as treasurer, and I think it has gone well. At least that was when I last checked. I don't know what you've done to me on the way over here. With the encouragement and suggestions of our board, along with the support of our president, and I truly mean that, Steve has really, really been a supporter of the many changes we've made in the last couple of years for Treasury. The Treasury seemed to find its groove, providing financial reports that compared prior year information as well as budget comparisons. But truly, things have gone well, and the committees and membership continue to be responsive to the changes, and together we will have a strong Treasury that can provide accurate and meaningful information. As we head into the last quarter of this financial year, I welcome your comments on what Treasury can do better. So, are we ready for some highlights from the end of third quarter? Okay, starting with the income statement. Our big fundraising activity, which is commonly referred to as the Santa Show, doesn't kick into full gear until after third quarter, which is consistent with previous years. After all, it is the Santa Show. Can't expect too much action in August, right? But the receipts have started to come in, and per Rob Turner, the show organizer, the show is not expected to produce as much as prior years, unfortunately. For Mr. Turner, the nature of phone solicitations and that more people are using unlisted cell service as their only phone service makes it difficult to request donations. And I am sure caller ID doesn't help much either. Combine that with the recent natural disasters and efforts to fund charities helping those areas, well, it's tough in the donation business these days. Mr. Turner said they hope to net an amount somewhere between the low to mid 30,000 range, which is in line with last year, but below the amounts we have enjoyed in the years past. I will update the status of the Santa Show at the Winter Board meeting with real numbers for fourth quarter. Vehicle donations are low at $43. And although I reported last year that the board decided to contract with the previous auto auction company that WCB used years ago, as it is based locally and they might be more interested in promoting our organization, nothing came of that, and vehicle donations are still disappointing. Traditional donations are consistent with last year as we continue to establish a connection with some of the online donation services that corporations use to facilitate employee giving. And I promise I won't mention this every time I give a Treasury report, but at least once more, that we now are part of the Amazon Smile Giving Program, and members are encouraged to request WCB as their recipient when you make eligible Amazon purchases. It costs you, the customer, nothing to participate and to designate WCB. So please consider making WCB your Amazon Smile charity. Membership dues are slightly more than prior year, but less than budgeted at $4,802. And we thank the local chapters for their great work in welcoming new members and retaining existing membership. The addition of two new chapters in 2016, one in Skagit County and one in Wenatchee, was a great addition to the line item. 2017 saw the addition of one new chapter, the Beat Ball Clubs of Washington State, which added two new members per the October membership listing. State convention revenue was midstream at the end of third quarter, with about 50% of total registrations recorded. Vendor table income was better than budgeted, bringing in a total of $1,325 by September 30th, and the committee did a great job of promotion. Updated totals for registrations
as of October 23rd was $12,160 and vendor tables at $1,575. I hope everyone has a chance to stop by the vendor tables tomorrow and thank them for their participation. Also, don't forget the silent auction that benefits that line item in our financial statements. I just love a good silent auction, and this is a great fundraiser for WCB. With all that, total revenue at the end of third quarter is, are you ready, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
$16,019. This balance does not include the money received for the Mariners game, which is not actually revenue, since we are just arranging the event at cost, not selling tickets with a margin. Maybe next year we could. Moving on to expenses, starting with ACB Convention in Reno. Our state had several members and guests participate in the Washington Caucus. WCB expense at this event includes sending our president, Steve Fixdall, and a first-timer, Sherry Dubin, to the event. In addition, WCB provided stipends to several members, although there was plenty extra in the stipend budget for more attendees. Maybe more members will be ready to go next year to St. Louis. WCB also paid for a donation item for the silent auction. Total ACB convention cost was $5,566. Quarterly board meetings take up a good portion of the expenses through the end of third quarter. As part of our new process, I track the expenses for the meeting by subcategories to help the budget committee establish a more accurate budget, and great improvements in our spending habits brought all board meeting expenses under budget overall this year. This is great news, as last year we went way over budget on all the board meetings. Not sure what else to say about that, except knowledge is power. Total board meeting and leadership training expense was $13,968 this year, which is nearly $10,000 less than last year's expense of $23,540. Chapter stipends, which represents $300 to all chapters who send in their membership dues on time, was on budget. A new chapter stipend totaling $500 was awarded to the Beatball chapter. Committee expenses are also tracked by individual committee, and a big thanks to all members for turning in their receipts and keeping me informed of expenses. Good going, guys. Good job to all committees. If I am elected as treasurer for another term, I would like to emphasize that reimbursement requests must be made in a timely fashion without being reminded by me. This is a point that can be improved, but we are getting better. Of course, we are tracking and reporting WCB operational expenses, and all are as expected for third quarter and consistent with prior year. Telephone, conference calls, storage, insurance, bookkeeping, and tax preparation are all on target. Credit card processing fees were slightly over budget, but as more members register for convention online, that is expected. Commission travel and president's discretionary are at or below budget as well. The expense for the ACB president's meeting was over budget $148, totaling $1,648. State convention is a major player for the financial statements on an annual basis, but most of those expenses have not hit the books yet. Expenses will be tracked using the budget line items as approved last year, so looking forward to providing good feedback to the board as well as the Budget and Convention Committee in the near future. As to not take away from the Scholarship Committee update that is on the agenda, that committee did award money to scholarship recipients this year, and those checks are ready for disbursement. The details will be noted in the committee update. And a side note that even though it was budgeted this year, no grants have been awarded at this time, but the committee may still do that before the year end. Crisis grant totaled $2,064 through third quarter. Wrapping up our tour of the income statement, the Morgan Stanley investment management fees was $4,741 in the third quarter, totaling $13,603. Total expenses for the first 9 months were $81,229. So we have a net operating loss at September 30th of $65,171. Rounding out the income statement is the net gain loss on the Morgan Stanley account. Is there a train coming from there? Which represents the realized and unrealized change in the account balance as a result of selling investments and market fluctuation. Total net gain loss for the year through September 30th was $150,511. And as I noted in the previous quarters, is quite significant but not unexpected given the current market. Because of these returns, WCB has a positive bottom line for the year through September 30th of $85,341. Turning to the balance sheet for September 30th, 2017, total assets of the end of third quarter were $1,280,885 for 2017 compared to $1,184,491 in 2016. Consistent with second quarter, the increase of just over $96,000 is mostly due to the Morgan Stanley accounts and sticking with the budget, which was previously discussed. Of the total assets, $20,578 is in checking and PayPal accounts. The Northwest Access Fund totaled $41,207 at quarter end, of which $8,968 is the current loan receivable with two new loans approved in third quarter. All loans are current with the NWAF. Three WCB loans to members to attend the national convention were approved, totaling $2,100. As of September 30th, only one of the three loans receivable was current and in good standing. And instead of stipends to attend the state convention this year, loans of up to $300 were made available to qualified members. Eight loans were approved and dispersed. As the first payments are not due until November 1st, all of these loans receivables are current and in good standing. So the two Morgan Stanley accounts totaled $1,214,921. This is an increase of over $94,512 from the 2016 third quarter balance of $1,120,409. This growth is a result of large realized and unrealized gains recorded in 2017, which is to be expected considering the record highs the stock market experienced during this same time frame. And finally, total liabilities of $4,596 represents the invoice for the convention bus as well as the chapter stipend check for King County chapter that was not deposited and other miscellaneous expenses like phone storage and conference call service. That's it in a nutshell. If you have questions about the financial statements in general or the detail, please contact me directly, and I am interested in your feedback. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Debbie. Does the board have any questions of Debbie? All right. Thank you very much. This brings me to a point in the program that I've been dreading for several months now. As many of you know, and I'll go into maybe a little more detail tomorrow, my vision has changed for the better. Yeah, I see this as a very, I say bittersweet, but it's really sweet bitter. Because it is sweet to have realized some improvement in my vision. But that improvement moves me from legally blind to not. And because of that, constitutionally, I am unable to seek a second term as president. And so, first of all, I want to extend my deepest thank you and appreciation to this board of directors and officers that are sitting up here with me today. You are the most incredible group of people that I have ever worked with. You're probably the most diverse group of people that I've ever worked with. But we, in so many ways, share a common vision. Sometimes our approach may be a little bit different, but our goal is the same, and that's to improve the lives of people who are blind or have visual impairments. And for your support over the last 2 years, this is not a one-person job. And it's really not a 12 or 13 person job when you take into account the board and other officers. The future of this organization depends on everybody. We are a grassroots organization, and we are that for a reason. Because we don't want to sit on our pedestal here and direct the membership as to how you're going to react. It is, in fact, quite different. You tell us how we're to react. And that makes us very different from a lot of organizations. And I think that's what makes WCB so unique and so special, is that we're willing to listen. And I hope that we have done that the last 2 years. And I hope that you feel that I have listened to your needs, your concerns, your desires, because that's really why I sought this office 2 years ago, was to be a voice for you. So again, I want to thank the board for all that they have done and for the support that they have given to me and to this entire organization. I'm glad we're not streaming, because my wife would have heard that. No, probably not. I doubt that she'd be listening. Although I can't put my finger on a lot of successes over the last 2 years, I can't say we did this, we achieved that, this is different, that isn't. But I do feel that a lot of change and growth has taken place. Debbie mentioned the treasury. A lot has changed in the way that we report and how we report, and how we oversee the organization's money. And that's all a direct result of the emphasis that this board has put on cutting costs. Some of those costs have hurt, and in the next upcoming budget, they'll continue to hurt, but they will hurt us all equally. but we have to do it. We have to make some change. And even though the stock market is booming right now, I dread the day when it's not booming. Because when it does crash, it's going to crash big. And it's going to hurt. So anything that we can do today to build our resources and keep that cushion, we're going to be that much better off. I think just in the way that this organization governs has changed, and the way that we look at problems and opportunities. Although we can't put our finger on we did this, I think there is direct movement going forward to make some significant change and to bring about new programs and services that benefit our members. And I'm feeling very good about that, and you'll hear about some of the things that are in the works in our upcoming committee reports. And it's a slow process. I came into this all bells and whistles, ready to go. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Well, my afterburners have run out of gas. Because it doesn't happen at that rate of speed. It will happen, but it may not happen. It hasn't happened in my 2 years, and it may not happen in the next 2 years. But as long as we're moving forward, then that's progress. So, I really didn't come here with a written, prepared remarks. And you will find the same tomorrow, because I have always tried to speak to you from the heart. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. So without going too much further and stealing from tomorrow's big show, I will conclude my remarks there, only to say thank you. Now we will move into committee reports, and these are in no particular order, but I have the convention committee report first up. Can someone bring Sue a glass of water, please?
I need a microphone over here. Bruce stole my microphone. Bruce, you stole it from me. Thank you.
You ready for me, Steve?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. All right. Hopefully everybody's gotten into their rooms and everything's going well. And did you love those volunteers we had today? So I wanted to announce a few things, and I hope you'll share this with other people.
Thank you.
Maybe in hospitality tomorrow morning. There's one very important thing. So in the program, it says that the general breakfast will be in silver gold. Now, silver is directly next to us, this room, and then goes gold, and then it's Olympic, and that's near where registration is, okay? If you continued down this hallway and you headed west. Well, in the silver room, the Rotary Club has their breakfast every other Friday or something, or every Friday morning. And when I came in this morning and met with the hotel, they had us down for our breakfast starting at 8:30, not 7:30, right after the Rotary group. And all that to say is that we are still having breakfast at 7:30, but we will not be in silver. We will just be in gold for the general breakfast. So please do not go into silver, because you'll have breakfast with the Rotary Club. And so First Timers is in Oak Pine, and President's Breakfast is in Spruce. Those are across the hall. We are in Bronze. So the Olympic Ballroom is one big room broken into four sections, and it goes Bronze, Silver, Gold, Olympic. So the silver, gold are in the middle, and that's where our meals will be placed. Other than tomorrow, we're just taking up gold because Rotary's in silver. Okay? All right. Exhibits will be in Olympic. And that's from 10 to 5. So hopefully everybody will have plenty of time to be in general sessions and enjoy all the presentations. And if there's something that you're not interested in particularly, then you can walk over and check out exhibits. I want to acknowledge Carol Braim, who is our exhibits coordinator. And she was able to get us 17 vendors that will be in there. So, and it's quite a nice variety. I also want to acknowledge Holly Turry, who is overseeing our volunteers this weekend. Thank you, Holly. I want to acknowledge Lori Allison, of course, who is helping with registration, overseeing registration. Another big job. I know she has lots of support, and so anyone who's helping with any of those things as well and supporting with registration, I thank you as well. We have our showcase of talent tomorrow night. It will be in this room. Mika has asked me to share that if you did not get back to her with your act, whatever it was that you're doing, singing or reading or whatever it is, that you are not on the schedule. So she gave a deadline for people to get back to her and even extended it, I think, 2 days at one point. But she has her schedule all solid, and we have, how many did you say, 17? 17 acts. So it's going to be a good show, all right? And what time do you want people in there? No later than 7? Is that what you're going to? Okay. And anybody that is performing should come and sit in the first three or four rows on the left side as you walk toward the front of the room. And that way it'll be easy for our volunteers to help you up to the stage. And we will try and have things set up in here by 6 if you want a mic check. You probably won't be able to go through your whole act, but... Okay, let's see. I feel like there's a few other things. Another important thing. On Sunday, we've worked it out with the hotel to provide a boxed lunch for those that are taking the bus and or. You don't have to just be taking the bus. If you'd just like to have lunch to take with you on the road so you can head home, it'll either be a prime rib sandwich or a... veggie wrap. It includes a small pasta salad, a piece of fruit, I think it's an apple or something, you know, whole fruit, and a cookie and a bottle of water. The cost is $15, and which is a good deal, by the way. You will need to see registration, and so this may be news to some registration people. But this is all things are always moving. But you'll need to do that before the break, before 10:15. That's when I need to give them my numbers on how many. No special orders. So tomorrow morning by 10:15, I need numbers because they need to make sure they have the supplies they need. So if you want to have a lunch, please take care of that at registration tomorrow morning before 10:15. Or I'll say 10:30. That way you could do it during the break. So 10:30. Okay, Lori?
Got it.
Okay. So again, it's prime rib sandwich or the vegetarian wrap. No special orders. Okay? All right. Oh, my goodness. What? Oh, name tags. Thank you. Name tags. Name tags. Wear them all the time. If you don't have a name tag, you will not, of course, you need to make sure you have the appropriate dot to be in the meal. And you need your name tag in hospitality. So this is for the security of our convention. And we'll make announcements later about where to turn them in and so on. I do want to also make mention about volunteers. Volunteers, these are people that are just serving us out of the goodness of their hearts. And we have given them some directives, and their directives are that they are to operate in the public areas of the hotel. If they help somebody to their room, it was for today, to help somebody to their room, but they were not allowed to go into anybody's room. So they are not to help with personal care. So if you need help with medicine or, you know, anything like that, that's not their job. They really are just here to help us to get around, find a seat, find the room we need, find the restroom, find the relieving area. I mean, they want to do good by us. And so please don't ask them to do anything that you know we do not want them to do, okay? Because when they have to say no to you, they feel bad. And then they come back and they ask, I had to turn somebody down. I feel bad. You know, I mean, anyway, so please be respectful of that. Still working. I need to finalize. I believe the if you are doing technology training with Al, we will have the information. First of all, you need to be on his schedule, so you can't just show up to go, right? Check at the information desk in the morning, and they'll tell you where it's located, because it's not in the program, and I need to verify the spot. I'm pretty sure I know where it's going to be. And then all-important hospitality is in project design, or they call it the workshop room. And it is, if you head to Wing 2, just as you turn the corner to head toward that ramp, it's right on your left. So if you head toward Wing 2, it's like straight in front of you. And are there any questions on anything with the convention?
We have one way in the back, it looks like.
Want to shout it and I'll repeat it.
He's coming with the mic.
I can hear.
I wanted to know if Mika got my.
Yes, you're fine.
Okay.
You're on the schedule.
I didn't know.
Okay, that's it. Any other questions pertaining to convention? All right, you guys, okay. Have fun.
Wait, we got one more.
Oh.
I just have a quick question. Can you tell me the color of the room that the president's breakfast is in?
Spruce.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Sue?
Cindy, I don't know if you've made arrangements, but if you don't know, the ice machine by the hospitality room is empty, so we need to make sure.
Ice is going to be in, a bucket of ice will be in your room, a tub of ice will be in your room
okay.
at
Thanks.
9 o'clock every night.
Thank you.
You bet. Anything else? Sue, the only thing they could not accommodate us was a refrigerator in hospitality.
Yep, hot beer.
They're out of them. So unless somebody wants to have one moved from their room if they're not using it, they're willing to do that. But they were out of them. They had no extra.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
Tim McCorkle said you could have his. So. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Tim, scholarships.
How close? Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Board of Directors. The Scholarship Committee had a successful year, a little bit challenging to get the word out and get applications coming in. They arrived slowly and late this year, but they all arrived, and we have a pretty interesting and a great class of recipients. We awarded 8 scholarships totaling $17,800. 6 of the 8 scholarship recipients will be attending the convention, and I'll just give their names now. Sean Berg is, this will be his third WC scholarship. Courtney Cole is receiving her second WC scholarship. Alex Ann Turman is receiving her first. Brooke Richardson is receiving her second. Jessamyn Landby is receiving her second. And Andrew Nance is receiving his first WCB scholarship. And we have 2 other scholarship recipients who will not be joining us. And the first is Eric Rebell, and this is his second scholarship. And last but definitely not least is Alex Longshore, and he is will not be joining us. The one theme is pretty cool that 4 of the 8 have some direct ties to the Washington State School for the Blind. So it's kind of everyone. We never know who is going to apply and what common theme they're going to have, other than the fact that they're blind. And this year, the common theme for at least half of them was that they spent time or a teacher at the WSSB. So that I was pretty proud and happy about that. And finally, I would just like to thank my committee members, Bruce Radke, Danette Dixon, Holly Turry, Joey Kelly, Julie Brannon, Kim Moberg, and Mika White. It's very much a team effort. They humor me on some of the weird requests I have for them to experiment with technology. They rarely say no. They're always creative in finding different ways to promote the scholarship program. They're an asset to the program, and they're very much an asset to the WCB, and it couldn't be as successful as it is without them. So thank you, and thank you, Steve, and the board for trusting me to be the chair of the committee again.
Thank you, Tim. Awards Committee, Julie Brannon.
Okay. All right. You know, I feel like scholarships and awards have something in common. We white-knuckle it until the last minute, hoping things will come in. Anyway, and they did this year. We have 6 framed awards that will be given on Saturday evening at the banquet, and a new one, which I'm really excited about, which is Teacher of the Year Award. So that was a brand-new brainchild, and we have a winner for that category, so I'm excited about that. And then we have 11 unframed awards that will be given on Friday during the awards luncheon. Very good committee this year. A big one. You know, we used to just have 3 members on our committee. That was an edict of the Constitution, but it changed. And we had a lot of very eager, active members. We had Joanne Hunter. I hope I don't forget somebody. Joanne Hunter, Danette Dixon, Mika White, Jessamyn Lambie, Meredith Greenberg, Randy Tedrow. So good committee. Chris did a lot of work for us. So it was a good, thank you, Danette. It was a very good committee. We kind of separated the committee. We considered first-timers as awards, but Danette took the huge lion's share and took that all because she was skilled at that and knew what to do there. So it was a good committee this year, and we did get nominations, like I said, toward the end, but we got them. Thank you all. I just hope you continue every year to nominate for awards.
Can we report on first-timers?
Yes.
Does she need my mic?
Oh, no. She's got one right here.
Okay. First-timers was, Diana Allen from the Tri-Cities chapters. And our other first-timer fell Tuesday, so she couldn't make it. Jenny Anderson, so broke her ankle in 2 places in her behind her knee. So yeah, again, come the nominations. I mean, the letters come in late, but we got them. And yeah, it was. I enjoy chairing this committee a lot. It was committee members were Jolene Ferguson, Vivian Conker, and Jessamyn Lambie. Thank you, committee, and thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Frank, are you prepared to do the Constitution and Bylaws report? That's what I thought. Okay, we'll come back to Frank. Resolutions, Deb.
There are no resolutions at this time.
Okay, that's quick committee work.
I know that's the shortest report I've ever given.
All right, Newsline, Mika.
All right, hello, WCB. All right, wake up. So I want to first thank my committee, which is Denise Colley, Chris Coulter, Cindy Van Winkle, and Randy Tedrow. We got the summer issue of the Newsline came out, and we, like we said in the last board meeting, we apologized that it was late. The fall edition of the Newsline will be coming out to the middle of November. It's going to be a pretty short issue, because as I always say, that you guys make the Newsline and make it happen with articles and chapter updates, and we did not get a whole lot of them, but we are going to put in what we did receive, and so that will be going out in the middle of November. And the deadline for the winter news, for the winter edition, is going to be December the 10th. So, and the address is newsline at wcbinfo.org. The word limit for articles is 750 words or less. Chapter updates is 350 words or less. So let's do better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mika. I can't stress enough how important the Newsline is. I know it's important to you, but its success is dependent upon you as well. Because if we don't have the articles to include in the Newsline, we're just hurting ourselves. And so I just want to encourage everyone to, you know, even if it's a two-paragraph snippet about something that happened, it's important. And it doesn't have to be 750 words. It doesn't have to be 350. It can be 200. But if you have something that's important or you think is important to our membership, I encourage you to share it, because 5 200-word articles makes up a 1,000-word article. And you do that a few times, and you've got a pretty sizable news line. So please, if you have something you want to share, then please do it, because that's what makes the Newsline the award-winning magazine that it is. So, and I know that will be a continuing theme throughout next year, is the importance of that publication. So please, be a contributor. All right.
I have a question.
Yes? Of course.
Absolutely. Please send your pictures. Absolutely.
I've been harping on photos for, well, the last 2 years. And just, if I can dig it out of my pocket, I'm pulling out a CD-ROM. And I had asked earlier this year if John DiMicio would download all of the photographs, or many of the photographs that he's been taking over the last several years, because if you haven't seen him, John is all over the room taking photographs throughout convention. Well, I now have photos from 2011 through 2016 on this CD-ROM. Okay. And it's these kinds of photos that we can use in our marketing, that we can use on our website, any of the publications that we create, in our news line. So I'll guarantee you that in the winter edition of the next news line, there will be photographs. Some may be current, some may be not, but at least they'll be representative of the great work and the importance that this convention holds for all of us. So even though we can't see them, others can. And the giving public is sighted. And they want to see photos. They want to see video. But they want to see photos as well. And so the more photos that we can provide them for us to show what a great community of people we are, maybe it'll change some mindsets about how they feel or how they look at people who are blind. So please, yes, share your photos. And if you've got an article and you want to attach a photo along with it, then please do so.
I have a question.
Yes, Sue?
Mika, I know we'd run into a problem of getting the audio version of Newsline done, and we did, you know, just receive it, I think, last week. Or has that problem been resolved now?
They should not come late for the next time.
Great.
I do want to note, though, the last audio version was delayed because Greg Vickers, the president of the Audiobook Ministries, has been battling a serious illness.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, so, it's going to take months and months for things to get better. But I think he is, he's more active again in his nonprofit and his ministry. And the staff is more in tune to what needs to occur. So we're working through it. Government affairs, Sue.
Fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, we really have kind of been in a hiatus since the legislature went home. So at this point, I guess I don't really have anything to report. We do send out information periodically from our national office, albeit Eric Bridges or Tony Stevens, sometimes Mark Reichert. Probably the main thing that we are watching is the ADA. What do they call it? Act. The effort to try to change the construction of the ADA and to make it so that it's more difficult for people to file complaints. In other words, they're putting a more difficult onus on people who want to file disability complaints versus if you want to file a race or sex or national origin complaint. Hopefully that bill won't go anywhere, and I know that we are continuing to watch that and to continue to put pressure to hopefully it not come out of the House and Senate. So I guess that's all I have.
All right. And it's been a difficult year. This has been an off year for the legislature, and it has been faced with the reforms to education and the funding thereof. And it really didn't make sense for us as an organization to try to push any kind of legislation knowing that it would fall on deaf ears because their focus has been on the McCleary Act. So next year will be different. And if you have an issue that you would like the Government Affairs Committee, which is the former Legislative Committee, please let us know. Okay? All right. Glenn, do you have anything to report on listserv? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Thank you for your report. I love brevity. All right. This one probably won't be so short. Advocacy. Sue?
Okay, just a second. The cord's a little hard to... I'll just move over a little bit, just a second. Okay, oops. Phew, my goodness. Advocacy. Our number of cases that we've looked at has been down a little bit this year, but that doesn't mean our work's been any less. I have a great committee, and I am not good at remembering everybody's names, so I'm not going to remember everybody. So I'll just say that I thank my committee. We actually meet monthly, and I think it's terrific. Somebody always takes notes so that we kind of keep a chronology of what we're doing. Sometimes that helps some of us remember the next month what we did last month. But seriously, it's a good way of keeping track what we do. Probably the biggest thing that we've been working on is the whole issue of prescription labeling, and we have had an ongoing saga primarily with Bartels, but we also have complaints filed against Fred Meyers for not providing prescription labeling. The big thing with Bartels is they came out and said, oh, we're going to be providing prescription labeling, and they did press releases and everything. But they didn't have anything in place for doing it. They just said that they were. Well, finally we got it to where individuals could go to Bartels and get a prescription labeled, but it would not be same service. Under our state law against discrimination, we have what we call same service, reasonable accommodation, and arranged service. Same service means that I, as a blind customer, get the same service as a sighted person does. So if I go into Bartels with a prescription from my doctor that maybe I just picked up because I had to go see them because I had bronchitis and they gave me, you know, a special prescription at the last minute, or maybe I needed pain medication, maybe I went to the emergency room. In other words, it's not my standard prescription. Well, you know, all of us have been used to being able to, you go in, you turn in the prescription. They may say, okay, you got to come back in a couple hours, but everybody does that. That's what you call same service. Except if you're blind, they say, well, sorry, you've got to come back in 7 days. Well, that doesn't do you much good if you need the medication for a sudden illness, or if you need sudden pain medication. So we kept saying to Bartels, you need to provide same service just as you do for everyone else. And we kept talking to, and we did have a complaint with the Human Rights Commission dealing with this issue. And finally, Steve and I got involved and went and had a meeting with the director of the Human Rights Commission to say, we don't understand what's so hard about this concept. It's covered under the law. And I kind of kiddingly reminded her that I wrote the regulations, so I do know what they say, even though it was 20-some years ago, the regulations haven't changed. Well, we kept going round and round Robin Hood's barn about this business, and nothing ever changed except the director would say, I agree with you. You're right. You should be able to go in and get the same service. But the investigator decided that he didn't think that, number one, Bartels was a place of public accommodation. I don't know who he thought went into Bartels. But he thought that. And number two, he didn't think that same service was extended to this. Well, I had a couple of more telephone conversations with the director, and I said, there should be a finding done. Well, they actually even then involved the attorney general, and it kind of made my heart feel good because the attorney general agreed with me that, yes, in fact, the regulations that we wrote 20-some years ago are still the same and should be applied. It was arranged that for the person who filed the complaint of discrimination, that the labeling unit was placed in that particular store. So let's say I came from my doctor and had a prescription. They could label the prescription that same day. And so that particular person, the issue was resolved. But what we still don't have resolved, nor do we have a mechanism in place. So I'm going to use Debbie, if you don't mind. Debbie's a Bartels customer. But if she goes up to her Bartels with a prescription, they're still going to send it away for 7 days. So we need to get a mechanism in place so that anybody who goes to their local Bartels, I think the best solution is that a labeling device be placed in that store to provide service to that customer. And that makes the most sense. We are not expecting that every Bartels have a labeling mechanism because that wouldn't make sense. But we are expecting that be where the customers are that want that service. So that's where we're going around now with Bartels in hopes that we can get that resolved. We've also had some discussion with Disability Rights Washington, which is an advocacy organization, so that if we can't get Human Rights Commission to come around, we might involve some more entities like Disability Rights Washington and the Governor's Committee and some other people to kind of knock a little sense into the Human Rights Commission and get them to realize that Bartels or any drugstore is a place of public accommodation and that's how they should be treated. That's taken up a lot of the efforts of the Advocacy Committee since our last report in August. The other thing that we just have done, and I know that they're here this convention, the Advocacy Committee and Guide Dog Users of Washington State have produced a brochure about service animals, and it explains what is a service animal and what is not a service animal or a service dog and what questions can be asked and the kind of things that can be done. And it's our desire that these brochures will be distributed broadly to businesses so that businesses know what their rights are. And I think it's, if you listen to the news, if you read things that we've seen on our list, we know that this still is a common area of misinformation, and we need to work on it. So that's something. I think, Sherry, are you in here this evening? Sherry, I think Sherry has the brochures. Sherry or Holly, I'm not sure, but I. Excuse me?
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Did Um say something? Okay, I thought somebody. So, Sherry, do you have the brochures? You and Holly? Okay, I guess Holly has them. So I know Holly's been doing a lot of the legwork. We had the brochures printed here. I'm sorry? They'll be at the Guide Dog Users booth. Okay, great. So I kept hearing somebody, and I couldn't. Was Danette. Okay. So I think, Mr. I will just say we just have had somebody contact us again from Employment Security who did not get any of the information from Employment Security given to them in a format that they could read, even though they requested it several times. And finally they were able to find all the printed paperwork and found out that there had been a lien placed against their house because they didn't come to a hearing even though they were never notified appropriately. So, as you can see, our work is never done. If you believe that you have an advocacy committee issue, please, you can always call the 800 number and a message will be passed along to me or someone on the advocacy committee. You can always go up on the website and my email address is up there. But the advocacy committee is there for each of you who encounter a problem or if you know of someone who has a problem. We're there to provide assistance, consultation, and referral to people who do have problems. So
okay.
I'll stop there, and if there's any questions. Okay. I hear somebody, but I can't tell who it
is. Linda? She's getting a mic. But just a minute. Get a mic.
Need a microphone, but I thought it was you, Linda, but I wasn't sure.
No.
No.
Swipe one from here. All right, this one's working.
Okay, the one thing I've noticed with the drugstores is they don't update the info on our prescriptions, and I almost ran out of my medicine that I needed badly. I call, you know how they give you a prescription number? And mine's all printed out in large print. Well, I called that in, and they said, oh, you don't have any refills. Well, I knew I did.
But that's nothing.
And I don't know what. How do you work with that, with Bartell, to get them to give you update, accurate info so that you don't run out of your medicine that you desperately need? And as you know, Sue, if you can't breathe, you're in trouble.
Right. Why don't you contact me next week, Lynn, and we'll talk about it. Okay?
this is Marlena, and I just, Sue will understand this. I had to make a quick battery run, so I'm a little out of breath. And Sue doesn't know that I'm going to say this, and so, but I want to tell you guys that you know, I started this Bartels thing on my own first, God, like 3 years ago. And I wasn't getting anywhere except a nice runaround. And then Sue said, you know, try filing a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. And she walked me through all of that. And Sue and I, you know, we've been down the roads over the however 20-something years I've lived here or whatever, and we've dusted each other up, and we've hugged each other a lot, and we've bent a few elbows together, and we've agreed and we've disagreed. But I will tell you that there is no, and I'm going to get teary here, but there is no finer advocate than Sue. When I got so sick that I couldn't continue on my own, she said, if you give me permission, I can take it on for you. And she did. And Sue, what you don't know is that 2 days ago, I went to my Burien Bartels and I got same day service. Thanks to you. Thank you, Sue.
Yay. Thank you, Marlena. I appreciate that very much.
Actually, I have a similar story, but it's not about medication. I had a situation, and I learned about advocating through the advocacy committee through my time on there and learning from Sue. And I was able to go to the police, tell them my concerns about my safety at my apartment complex because there was somebody there that was making the place unsafe. And they were able to take care of that person and make sure that she got help so that the rest so that I could be, you know, so that, well, not just me, but that the rest of us there could be safe. But she was interfering directly with my ability to get around the complex because she would just stand there and be off in her own little world, and I couldn't move. And I was afraid of her. And because of my what I've learned, I was able to help straighten out that situation.
Great. If we, yeah, we need to move on, but go ahead. Mike's coming.
Can we do anything about the bike walks in front of clinics? Roosevelt has now put cement blocks there.
That's
so you have to lift your walker up over that cement block.
I would
to get in there.
I would say, this is just my opinion, I kind of view those kind of things as a local chapter issue. I think you'd fare a lot better setting up a meeting with the Department of Transportation, probably in the city, but definitely I think it's a local chapter issue you should take up.
All right.
Mr. President, this is Doreen from Seattle. Anybody in Seattle who has issues with bike infrastructure or bike share, bikes poorly parked everywhere, UBS is in the process of setting up a meeting that will be with, where there's two paths. One is Bicycle Advisory Board, which is a city function, and one is the Cascade Bicycle Club, which is a big force in bicycles. So if you can come talk to me over the weekend.
Might I suggest that you invite the other two chapters to join with you? And
yes, yes.
That would.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So find me over the weekend if you want to talk in detail. Otherwise, I will try to make sure and email presidents. Because it is a thing that is we're aware of.
Steve, I know you're in a hurry, but let me say this quickly. One of the goals of our committee is that we do teach people to advocate for yourself. Because someday I'll be in the nursing home, and other than advocating that I don't run out of scotch, I may not have time to. No, seriously, I mean, that's what we want. We want to teach you guys to advocate for yourself. So I'm always happy when I hear people have done that. Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome, and thank you. Membership, Carol Brame.
All right, I'm coming.
You're going to get your exercise.
Thank you. So membership, since we last reported, we did the Washington Fair for Education. And some people question how that were, you know, how well that goes for chapters and stuff. Well, I can say that I got really good input from people that had done the fair this year, and even I talked to people that were blind that knew nothing about WCB, and I was able to give them the information to contact us and contact a local chapter. So hopefully the chapters will grow. I do hope we can continue with that. Also, my wonderful team, well, a few of us on wonderful team because a couple of them didn't make the call, did a last minute putting together and updating membership, welcome membership packets that we have brought to convention for those that are new. And we'll be giving them out to DSB and places like that. So I thank Lori Allison and Sherry Devin and Cindy Glidden, J.R. Kinnison, and Megumi Tanaka, that we did work well together and hope to continue it in the future and look to try to help chapters continue to grow and WCB to continue to grow.
All right. Thank you. Next, we have families with blind children. Lori, you going to report?
A very short one. This committee has worked very hard this year. We have taken three programs to the Yes To with the Department of Services for the Blind. We've worked with the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library with the Braille Challenge, and we are diligently working on, as forever, some type of giveaway for the younger blind, as well as participating with the American Council of the Blind on their family's programming. So for a small committee, and I'm not going to list the names, I'm a little cranky and tired right now, but they are very, very good, and we are continuing on. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lori. And they have. That has been probably one of our most active committees this year, and she will never claim it, but I will. And Lori Allison has been a driving force of that committee. So thank you, Lori. Aging and Blindness, Deb. It's
hung up in something.
That's as much as there is.
Well, there was more before when I had it.
Well, just lean forward.
No, it is actually caught on something. I'll try here. Okay, so Aging and Blindness is continuing to work on some of the projects that they have been working on. Notably, the development of the transit information for the whole entire state in terms of paratransit and other special resources. And so we are actually doing this, and it's going well. We still have a little more to do. We took a lot of the summer off, so that's our problem, I guess. But we did do that. And we should have that finished in the next couple of months and available for the WCB website. We're also continuing to look at activities that can support the Independent Living Program and the expansion of that program and working there. And one of the other exciting things that the Aging and Blindness Task Force Committee has decided that it would like to do is it wants to work this year toward developing a special affiliate of WCB that would be part of the ACB special affiliate on aging and vision loss. And so we are committed to seeing if we can do that because we think that's a good outreach, but we also think that there's a lot of work we could do if we had actual membership and a larger group of people to work with and then a committee. So we are hoping to change our status. And the challenge that we have agreed to rise to is that we recognize that there are a lot of WCB members who would like to perhaps join this special affiliate or other special affiliates and who are also already active in other chapters and would join that, but that doesn't really help WCB grow in numbers. So we're planning to meet our new membership requirement by recruiting the required number of people either as new members or members at large who are not part of any affiliate currently so that they're not part of any local chapter or special interest chapter, guide dogs or beatball, whatever. So basically we're taking that challenge on, so it may take us a tiny bit longer to get our act together, but we expect to do that in 2018. So if you have an interest in participating in a chapter that would be focused solely on aging and vision loss, you can see any of the committee members or myself. And particularly if you're a member at large or if you're not a member at all yet of WCB, we're especially looking for you to be part of our charter members because that's the challenge we're accepting for ourselves. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you. Crisis Committee, Jim Turry. Do we have a mic over there?
Coming. Okay. We've had an active year, especially during the summer when everybody was on vacations, but the crisis members worked very steadfastly and we kept it going. so that the people were served. We spent $2,063 or so. I'm hoping as the winter approaches that we don't have to spend too much more trying to keep in budget. The other wonderful thing, well, it's not wonderful, but one of the people that we helped this year had a house fire, and he's under 40 years old, and last week he called me up to sign him up to come to the convention.
Wow.
So I hope he makes it, and I think we're going to have a wonderful two-way street with him. He's learning blindness skills, but he's got good organizational skills, and so I think hopefully we'll have a growing relationship. And I just want to thank all the members of the Crisis Committee for helping me along, and we've helped a total of 6 people so far, and the year's not over yet. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jim. History Committee, Chris, are you in here?
No.
Oh, that's right.
Is that better? Yeah. You won't have to listen to me too much. My voice is going. Chris asked me to read her report, but in the interest of time, and the fact that I'll start coughing violently if I start talking, would I have your permission to post it on the web or on the list? It's a short report.
So move.
And I'll just tell you that our committee is very small, but we are very active. We're just doing an oral history project, and I will be interviewing Dean Stenchum. Chris interviewed Nathan Brannon, and we're just developing all the different people that are retired or used to be in the field of blindness education, or people who have gone to the School for the Blind. So that will be our project. And as Chris Coulter is our chair, I serve on the committee with Burl Colley and Carl Jarvis and Nancy Lind. Sorry, my voice is going, so you're lucky you don't have to hear me anymore. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Holly. All right, we're almost there. Communications Committee. This is a new committee that was formed at last year's convention. It pulled together PR, website, listserv, the phone operators into one committee to really look at communications from a global point of view. You probably got tired of hearing from me earlier in the year to send in videos, short videos. Sorry, but you're going to have to continue to listen to me to send in your short videos. The response has not been real good. And I think a lot of it has to do with we're not sure how to do it, or we're afraid we might not do it right, that it might be not be a Hollywood level production. We don't want that. We want raw footage. We want you shooting a video of yourself telling your story or something about life as a blind person. And it doesn't matter if you're taking the video and we're only getting the upper left corner of your forehead. That is not what it is important. What's important is the message that you're telling. And so if you're concerned about the quality of the video, put that aside. Don't worry about it. Turn the camera around, take a picture of the wall. But make sure the microphone works so that we can hear you. Because we really want to know who you are, what it's like to be a blind person, so that we can tell the sighted world that we are as good, if not better, than they.
This is Debbie.
Yeah?
sorry. I really have a problem with that whole thing, because that what you're suggesting is it is a good idea for blind people to take pictures of themselves looking like baboons, so that sighted people will feel damn sorry for us.
That's not the
point. And that is really what you're saying. I am just totally offended. I absolutely know that we don't have to be first-class photographers, but if you shoot a picture of something else and babble on about being a blind person or whatever, and your picture is of the ceiling, they're just going to go, oh, that is so pathetic.
All right.
I'm just, that bothers me immensely.
All right. Point taken. Just, I'm not going to dwell on this because we don't have all night. But the point is that it's important that we show everyone that of what we are capable and what we have accomplished in our lives. And if you don't want to shoot any video, do a video or an audio recording, if that is what you're more comfortable with, then do that. But tell your story. They don't want to hear your story from me. They want to hear it from you.
Steve?
Yes, Cindy.
Mika is offering her services to video people tomorrow. We will come up with the exact times and the location. It'll probably be in either Oak or Pine. And she'll do clips and ask you a question, and you can just respond. And I think her question is going to be what WCB means to you. And so it might be for, you know, a few hours. It might be for all day. We'll see how it works. But I'll announce something in the morning, though. Okay, Steve?
All right. Great. Thanks. Thank you. The other thing that the committee is going to be working on is our website. There's a lot of holes in our website as it now stands, and we need to work on fixing those holes. And so if you are on the WCB website and you come across something that is broken, a link that doesn't work, if information is outdated and incorrect, please let me know so that we can make that better and fix it. I've told you 2 years ago that if I don't know it's broken, I can't fix it. So please, if you find something and it's broken, then let me know so that we can fix it. Okay? Moving on, lastly, is WCB Cares. Haley, can we get her a microphone?
Coming.
Here we are. Okay, thank you. Well, first I want to say that my computer totally shut down on me Thursday. It has nothing to do with the fact that my JAWS version is 7.0. So I don't have exact numbers, but it's been a really successful year for us. My committee members are David Edick and Carol Brame. And what I just want to say is that at the halfway mark this year, we had already well exceeded the number of people that we helped in the previous year, I think by over another half. So we have made phone calls, made visits, sent cards. For most of the needs have been illnesses or hospitalizations. We've had a couple passings. Thank you so much for allowing us. You know, the intention on my part for starting the committee was to bless you guys and to let you guys know how important you are and that someone is always thinking of you and praying for you when you're going through something difficult. It really just turns out to be a huge blessing for me. I can only speak for myself. Thank you for letting us into those very private parts of your life. Some of the things that have happened this year have been relayed to me, but not necessarily posted on listserv. They're very private things that people go through, and so it's just an honor and a blessing to be a part of that. And if for whatever reason you did go through something this year and did not receive a phone call or at the very least a card, we probably just didn't hear about it. So please just continue sending to me or to Carol. You know, Steve lets me know things, too, as they come in. But just continue to send those in and just know that you are being thought of as you're going through those things, that you're not going through it alone. So thank you.
Mr. President.
All right.
Can I
thank
add one
you
thing?
Very much. And that concludes the committee reports.
I was going to say one thing, but.
Oh, yes. Frank, we had to skip over you because you were.
Constitution meets following this meeting, and we have five amendments that we're proposing, and you're welcome to join in the discussion as we vote whether to recommend a do pass or do not pass on each one, and then they'll be brought to the convention tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. And you, as you can see, the committees that encompass WCB are active and hard at work doing the members' business, and I think we owe all of them a big thank you and a round of applause. All right, if there's no objection from the board, I'd like to forego the agency reports as we will be hearing from all three of them later in the convention program. Any objection? Nope. All right. Seeing none, we will move on. The first order of new business is the 2018 proposed budget. The board got a glimpse of the proposed budget a couple of nights ago in a board call. The way the process works is the board moves to advance the budget to the membership for a consideration and vote. The board does not approve the budget itself, but merely moves it on to the floor for consideration. And so we're not going to read the budget tonight. It will be read in its entirety on Saturday. So if anybody on the board has a question about the budget or wants to make some amendments, now would be a good time. Otherwise, we'd need a motion to move it. Cindy?
I would like to make a motion that the line item for stipends to National Convention be changed from zero to $4,000 to reflect $200 for 20 people to go to Missouri.
Any discussion on that? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Okay, so stipends will be for the members' benefit. There was a zero. No. Okay. There was a zero in that line item, and the motion that was just adopted increases the budget by $4,000 to include that amount of money for stipends to the National Convention. Anything else?
Sorry.
All right, seeing none, is there a motion to move this to the floor for
Carol.
Member Carol.
I make a motion that we move this to the floor.
Okay. We normally recommend either a do pass or do not pass. I recommend it be a do pass motion.
All right. That works.
I agree to that.
All right. Any last discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. All right. And again, we will read the proposed budget for 2018 in its entirety on Saturday. The Sorry, I got the agendas on my phone, so I'm not checking Facebook, believe me. I have down 2017 board meeting dates. I really don't have those for sure. 2018, I'm sorry. Right now, we're still working out some details. It looks like the first winter board meeting will be in Seattle at the Executive Inn. I am talking to the Hilton in Vancouver for a spring board meeting. And the budget that the board just recommended for a due pass would eliminate the summer board meeting, and it would become a teleconference, which is another way that the board has chosen to save some money. But I will get back to you, or someone will get back to you as soon as we have those dates firmed up. That's all I have. Do we have any announcements or further new business? Yes, Sue? Just,
Just for the board's information, the first weekend in February will not work for the for that hotel. So we'll be looking at different weekends. So if I would, of course, recommend if people have problems, let us know sooner rather than later. If, you know, if you have conflicts. I know there's a PAC meeting coming up, and Steve, I couldn't find out when that was. Sorry.
Okay.
Steve? Let's see, is this on? Yeah. This is Danielle from Spokane.
Oh, yes, Danielle.
If you choose to have a board meeting in the summer that is only teleconference, doesn't that exclude the chapter reps?
No, they'd be part of the teleconference.
So anybody that wants to could call in.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yep. Everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any other new business to come before the board?
Mr. President?
Yes, Debbie?
I have an amendment. This is Debbie. I made an error in reading my treasurer's report, and it's an important enough error that I would like to correct it for the record.
$500,000.
Yeah, well, it was close to that, Sue. I said that our total assets at the end of the quarter were I'll tell you what they are. I said something. I turned some numbers around. But the actual total assets are $1,280,855, and I said $885 in my report. So that is a change. It's $1,280,855. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for correcting that.
Kim caught me.
Leave it to Kim. All right. Any announcements?
Debbie, are you still having a resolutions committee meeting?
Well, we can have a meeting, but technically the rule is that the resolutions need to be provided in advance. So, and I didn't receive any. So there's not really probably a reason to have a meeting unless somebody wants to come up with that differently.
I have an announcement.
Frank?
The Constitution and Bylaws will meet in this room up here at the front table about 10 minutes after the board meeting adjourns.
Okay. And Sue?
Not Advocacy Committee. Hospitality. I knew there was a word for it. Boy, I'm getting... I think we'll start up about 9:30. I could sure use some help getting to my room, but also getting stuff down to hospitality. Maybe it would be better if it's a guy, since I'm not sure whether John may have already gone to bed. So anyway, if somebody could help me, I'd appreciate it. And for people, just to know, for hospitality, especially if we have any new people. We provide soft drinks at no charge. We do have alcohol, bourbon, rum, scotch, vodka, wine, and maybe beer. It won't be very cold, but we'll do the best we can tonight, better tomorrow night. And those are at a cost of $2. And it would sure help if you guys could bring change. I don't have, you know, by the time you hit me with your fifth 20, I just don't have change. So if you could get change, that would be greatly appreciated. Otherwise, everybody's welcome.
All right.
Wear your badge.
Yes, wear your badge, please.
And this is Carol.
Carol?
Yeah. I want to share that in hospitality, SKCB will be selling some tickets. But I also want to share, to help fundraising, but I want to share that Jim Bryant had two strokes, and his mom had broke her hip, and she's healing, and now he had a couple strokes. Well, he has donated a big Afghan that is in the silent auction. There's a quilt in the silent auction and a baby blanket that Jim Bryant had made. And he is starting to knit and crochet. I think it's knit or crochet. I can't remember which one he does. But anyway, he's starting to do that a little bit again, so he's getting better. But I just want you guys to go spend some money on those things that he so lovingly made and donated.
All right. Doreen, did you have?
Yes. Hearing that there's no resolutions, I would move that we suspend our rule enough to generate the usual resolutions of thanks to the hotel and the volunteers. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. If there are no other announcements, this... It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No? You sure? All right. Meeting's adjourned.